Up, get out right out of your bed, that's your quicksand. Getting rid anxiety and head, you can fix it. Rid of stigmas, all of them you said, we ain't listening. Just remember, try to do your best, you can win this. Maurice Bernard,
State of Mind. All right, this is State of Mind. And if you like what you see, you gotta hit this little button right here. You see that? I have someone who I consider in our generation the Lucille Ball of our generation. And I gotta tell you why. Because she's just, comedy-wise, she's brilliant. She's just perfect comedy, I know. But I believe she's also great at drama. And I could be wrong.
You're not.
But she maybe doesn't get the opportunity, or maybe she did. I mean, who knows? She's got so many credits, it's not even funny. But you know her as Diane Miller.
Keep going. You got it.
On General Hospital. She's an author. She's an animal advocate. And we're going to talk about all that kind of stuff. How you doing, Carolyn?
I'm fantastic. I love that. That's maybe the best introduction.
Where are you from?
7 miles that way. Encino.
Oh, really?
Encino, California. Yeah.
How was that growing up?
Well, it was great. I mean, you know, those were the days when you could... I'm really dating myself. When, you know, you could drink from the hose and nobody freaking cared about it. When you could be out after dark riding, you know, in summer riding your bicycles till, you know, 8:30, 9 o'clock at night, and nobody worried about you. And, you know, the back door was always unlocked, and my mom was sort of like the mom for the neighborhood. It was terrific. But what was really cool is that I was a studio brat. I don't know if you knew that.
Well, I do know that your father won an Academy Award.
Yeah, Dad won an Academy Award. So I was, I mean, I love being raised in Encino, but I really love spending time at Warner Brothers and MGM and Sony. And
how was that?
It was great. It was terrific. Wherever Dad was, I wanted to be. And there's a street named after my father over at Warner Brothers. Did you know that? Hennessy Street? Yeah, he designed it for Annie. Yeah, and he passed away right after principal photography was done for Annie, but he designed this special street for John Huston. They could film like the dance scenes kind of coming down, you know, on different angles. So then Tim Burton used it for Batman, but that's Dad's street. And then I remember being on the set of Young Frankenstein over at 20th Century.
No.
Yeah, at 20th Century Fox, and watching the scene they were filming where... you know, Marty Feldman's, Elizabeth's just come in and, you know, in the carriage, and Marty Feldman says, you know, you take the blonde, I'll take the one in the toy bin. You know, going up to the big door with the knockers, you know, oh, what knockers.
Right.
Thank you, doctor. And meeting Cloris Leachman and hearing Madeline Kahn warming up her singing in the ladies' room that used to be, they used to have them on the sound stages. I remember being at Sony for Logan's Run.
And I love Logan.
Oh yeah, yeah. And my older brother and I that summer putting together all the little model cars that you see going through the tubes.
Yes, yes, yes.
Yeah, I built those. Some of them. Yeah. I built some.
Really?
So I loved it from the time I first walked onto the set of Fantastic Voyage.
Fantastic.
Which is what my dad got his Oscar for. He was nominated twice again, but he got the Oscar for Fantastic Voyage. And I just went, well, this is it.
Now, how was it when he won?
I was four. Right? So I don't remember watching it, but my nephew found the footage. And so I watch it, and it's like, that's my dad when he had hair.
Wow.
And he's in a suit getting his Oscar handed to him by Rock Hudson.
No.
Yes. And so... you know, and listening to his voice, it's like, oh, it was so, you know, because he was my dad, and he was kind of this sort of Ernest Hemingway pirate of a guy. And listening to him when he was, what, 34, 38? And his voice is kind of like high-pitched. And so he must have been so nervous. It's like, oh, Dad. It just comes flooding back. And it's like, you know, I miss him.
Now,
so.
What about, you're four, but what about when he came home? How was it? I mean, was it?
Well, Dad also, you know, I mean, no holds barred here. Dad was a practicing alcoholic when he died. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, he was not a happy guy. Mm. He just wasn't. If he had his druthers, he would be, and he would say this, he'd say, I would be up in Carmel with, you know, your mom and you guys painting the ocean.
Wow.
That's what I would be doing. Or I would be up in this little ghost town called Bodie, which is in Central California, and or in the Sierras, and painting that. And so I have lots of my father's artwork in my home. The seascapes, the paintings of Bodie, the some of the storyboards for some of the films that he did. But he wasn't a happy guy. And as a result, he drank. And so I grew up as the adult child of an alcoholic, you know, and it transferred to me.
Oh.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, 21 years sober.
21 years
sober. Yep.
How? That's amazing.
Yeah, I never thought I'd even get through the first year. I wasn't white-knuckling it, but it's just like, what do you mean I can never drink again? I can't, but I have a whole wine collection. What are you talking about? So yeah, when Dad came home, it was...
Did he suffer from any mental illness, any mental illness?
Not that I was
depression,
not
that, or
I think he was depressed. I think
yeah.
he was depressed. I don't know if it was a clinical depression. Might have been.
Yeah,
might have been. But
in those days,
nobody knew. It was just, you know, the talk of the family that my dad drank, and was at the same time an artistic genius, and I think he was distant from the family. I knew, as his firstborn, I felt this very interesting connection to him. He also knew what I wanted to do as I progressed through my teens. And I always say, because my aunt is also an actress, Barbara Rush. And I learned more about this business from my father, on this side of the camera, from my father than I ever learned from my aunt on also on this side of the camera.
Wow.
I learned more about it because he was so, when he passed away, he was so revered by the crews that worked under him. Because he pulled no punches, he was a straight shooter, and he would say to me, he said, the crew is the lifeblood of any production.
Yeah, yeah.
They've seen it. You're nothing special.
Yep.
They've seen it all before.
Yep.
They're smarter than you are. They work harder in one day than you will in a year. They're better read. They're better educated. They're just more grounded individuals.
Yeah.
And so they are to be respected at all costs. At all costs. And that's what I grew up with. And being on those sound stages. Logan's Run and Fantastic Voyage and Young Frankenstein, Annie, watching the way they revered my father, they respected him and he respected them. That's what I took into this business. And every time I see an actor kind of standing on their hind legs going, look at me, I just go, I didn't need it, but thanks for the lesson. I'm fine.
Now, when he passed away, how old were you?
19.
Because as you know, my dad's, he's very sick.
Yeah.
How was it?
Almost, it was devastating to my mom, obviously. It was devastating to my little brother. But I was absolutely traumatized by it, of course. But almost instantaneously, there was this sort of otherworldly connection that's like from beyond, that Dad was kind of reaching to me through the veil. Beyond, you know what I mean? And it's like, and I was like this.
Yeah.
So I am more connected because also when he passed, still in that sort of estrangement, you know, you don't know how to tie your shoelaces at 19.
Yeah.
And your father is coming home and he's inebriated, you know, pretty much almost, well, a lot, let's just say. So there's an estrangement. You don't know what's going on. So he passes away. I don't have any chance to have to rectify any of that. Neither of us do. So from beyond or whatever, wherever it is, I felt this just now he's we're clasped. Now there's a much stronger bond that I think we might have gotten to had he lived.
Yeah.
I would hope. But it was instantaneous, and it was very, it's very real. So I talk to my dad all the time. So the only thing I care about is he proud of me? And I think he is, so.
Yeah, who wouldn't be?
Not as an actress, yeah, as a human.
Right.
Yeah.
Do you think it's easier to deal with death if you're not close to your father than it would be if you're very close to your father?
I don't know. I honestly, is it easier to deal with something that you can see coming, months, years down the road, or something like my father that's gone in the space of an afternoon?
Oh, yours
in
was
this, like that. Abdominal aneurysm. Got him. I mean, he came home. He had like a stitch in his side. We thought he had a tweaked back. Took him to the hospital, and I left. I was going somewhere. I came home, and my older brother came out and said, "We lost Dad today." And I'm like, "Excuse me? I'm sorry. What? What?" So I don't know.
With my dad, I think it's. I said it to my mom. I said, "If you lose somebody in a car accident." It's difficult because it jolts you so much and you don't see it coming and then boom. Whereas with my dad, it's been now for almost a year, you know, so you kind of accept what is.
Yeah. You also have time to make right anything
that
was wrong that you choose to make right. So you can do that.
That's
You've
true.
Got that luxury.
Do you know that I've talked about it, but I have lost, my best friend was murdered. Carol Scott died. Donna, she died. Jeff, my other friend, died. And Ray didn't never sit by nothing. It was just done.
Like that? Yeah.
I mean, Donna didn't want me to see her. So
she didn't want anybody to see her.
Yeah. So, you know, but same thing. You're not able to, you know. At least with my dad now, I just saw him last week. And we had such a beautiful time. My son was singing to him and playing guitar. And
it's good for the kids, too.
It's good
for the kids, too. Absolutely. Yeah. Even if, you know, even remembering Granddad, how Granddad used to be, and seeing the love that is being directed toward him now as things kind of start deteriorating a little bit. Yeah. It's so important. So yeah, I don't. I have a very interesting now relationship with death. I believe, and I've been told through therapy, before my therapist fired me, she said I can't do anything for you. And it's like, no, you're fine, but I just can't do anything more for you. It's like, oh, okay, all right.
How long were you going to therapy?
It was couples therapy while I was still married, and then. She saw both of us kind of separately, and then we got divorced and he moved away. And so I think she was seeing me for like the last maybe 4 years after that. So I think it was maybe about 7 years, but it was once every 2 weeks. It was once every couple of weeks.
Good for you. So
like, okay.
Now divorce, how is that? Obviously I've never been through it. Is that as hard as, or is it, it is what it is?
It was not hard for me.
Okay.
It was I knew I was doing the best thing. And we also did it without lawyers.
Mm.
And I think I kind of got, I got a, I, we all, we walked away with each of us satisfied.
Yeah.
I believe. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So and now he's, you know, he's gone. I think he's actually married and he's up and living up in Seattle.
Oh, like, really?
Yeah, well, when you have Carolyn Hennessy taking care of you for 5 years, you got to have, you know, please, please. You know, you can't just go off on your own. You got, it's like, geez, where was the, where's all that? Ha, you know, I need someone else. I'm sure she's lovely. I'm sure she's fine. I'm sure she's great. But it's like,
that's the best. And how is it dating in LA?
I'm not. I went out.
I can't imagine.
I was doing a play. And my friend, my dear friend, Erin Murphy, who used to play Tabitha on Bewitched, she was also in the play, and we were talking about dating. She's in a fabulous relationship. Well, you need a relationship, Carolyn. It's like, do I, Erin, really, do I? I walked on stage. I did a scene. I came back off stage, and in the dressing room, Erin had created an account for me on my phone on Bumble. And I'm oh, you minx. You little minx. Really? So I swiped a couple of times. And yeah, there was a match and there was one guy. And so we arranged to meet for lunch. Did not tell me that he had no teeth. Okay. So there was that. So then I swiped another time and there was another guy and very forward. And it's like, oh God. And I said, I'm done. I'm fine. I also needed to get right with myself after making what was ultimately a bad choice.
How long were you married?
We were married for 5 years, but I think together for like 6 or 7. Yeah, before that, you know, like a year before that, and then we kind of stayed married for tax purposes after that. So, but then he left. But so no, I haven't dated. Because my tolerance for baggage is so small for someone else's baggage.
Yes.
It's like you can bring an overnight shaving kit into the relationship. And that is what I will accept. Anything larger than that, bye-bye. I mean, I may kind of loosen up on that a little bit if someone was really fabulous, but I just I don't think I've actually put it out there that I'm really looking. So I don't think those pheromones are being
Especially now it's tough to probably date in LA and everything. Yeah. I'm fascinated by this that you haven't had a drink in 21 years.
21 years.
I was drinking a lot when I was younger.
So was I.
Yeah. And you know what I found, especially now, at my daughter's wedding, what happens is when I would get drunk, I would get dark. So I'd look like Tony Montana, right, in the corner at a party.
Yeah. It's like, don't right? go over there.
And that's not good.
No.
Right? No. I mean,
I would drink to prolong elation. When moments, because the career of acting is tough.
Yes.
Learning as a green actress to accept rejection, to understand, and this is when I talk to kids, they say, well, how do you handle rejection? I said, the word no has to become your lover, because will be. You have to learn to love it after, or at least, you know, kind of go, I don't care. All right. No, screw you. What do you got? No, screw you. I'm going over here. No, screw you. It's like, and it, you just.
Good.
And the, but that's not something that anybody is born with, I don't think, or let's just say very few people.
Yeah.
But I wasn't. And so learning that, thickening that skin, that takes time.
Yes.
And so there were some depressed days. So when I would find moments that were elation, you know, where I was just elated, I was happy, I would drink to prolong that. But I always say, as many people who identify as alcoholics on this planet, that's how many different types of alcoholism there are. Everyone is different.
Yeah.
We're all the same ice cream in the same freezer case. We're just different flavors. And everyone's bottom is at a different level. And everyone's, you know, acceptance of God as a higher power is different. There are certain kind of rules. If you want to, you might want to follow them if you want to be sort of successful. And not be what they call a dry drunk. Do you know what I mean? Where you're still in that alcoholic behavior, you're just not drinking.
Yeah,
you're not living
a
sober life.
Yeah.
But There are many, many different shades, many different kinds, and everyone's process, like acting, everyone's process is valid.
Yeah.
The only rule is you don't drink. You don't drink or use.
I agree with you. Yeah. I mean, I believe wholeheartedly that with everything that I've been through and with mental illness, that if I drank on top of it, I'd be done.
You wouldn't be here.
I wouldn't be here, no.
You wouldn't be here.
Because it's too, it's hard enough.
Oh my God.
Like I say to people that don't understand what it's like to have anxiety or depression or bipolar, it's like when you have a hard day, triple that. And if you add liquor
on top of it,
now you're at a different thing. And I couldn't have done it. There's just no way.
You wouldn't be here.
No.
No, your survival mechanisms are too strong. You know, like my dad isn't here because my dad didn't have the strength with whatever depression or possible
yes.
mental illness that
yes.
he was dealing with.
Yes.
I mean, again, he's an artistic genius. But that comes with, that's, you know, genius and crazy. They're just,
right
on the line. Right on the line. I never saw serious crazy, but doesn't mean that it wasn't there. But
yeah.
I did see depression. So, you know, but my dad didn't have the strength to have that sort of self-preservation mechanism.
Yeah, because it's interesting that we're talking about depression, because depression is something that's like the stepson from anxiety, because my dad used to always say to me, what is worse? Depression or anxiety? And I said, Dad, you always ask me the same thing.
Like,
I mean, it's one or the other, but I don't know. They're both really bad.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But depression is more like, and I could see where, because depression is like I say, it's like being sleeping in quicksand. You don't want to get out of that bed. And the only time.
Wow, yeah.
Right? The yeah. only time that I had depression for like 8 months straight where I'd roll out of bed. But I would dream and then I would be happy because I would dream of beautiful things. And then I'd wake up and I'm back to,
yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
But I can see where
yeah.
maybe drinking you would think is a good idea.
Oh, it's escapism.
Now,
it's
would
escapism.
I wonder if the drinking, does it make you feel better right away if you're feeling that bad in depression?
Well, for me, I can only speak for me.
Yeah, tell me.
Because I wouldn't necessarily be depressed. It was just trying to figure out how to navigate this thing that I knew I had to do.
Right.
The only thing that made me happy to do was acting, being on camera, being on stage, being in front of a microphone, hearing laughter, which is like oxygen to me, hearing, knowing that you got an audience right here in the palm of your hand,
right.
And there's a certain amount of control you have over the hearts and minds of people when you're really connecting
yes.
with them and other people.
Yes.
And you're kind of doing it for yourself. It's like, it's the noblest experience of yourself. In many, many ways. So trying to navigate that as a young actor, I would find moments where I would be like, backyard barbecues. It's like, and the day, like a Sunday, and the day would stretch, and I knew that I didn't have anything to worry about for the rest of the day. And I was surrounded by lovely people and friends, and it was just like, okay, look, there's a large bottle of wine. I'm going to make this last. I'm going to make this last. So that I don't have to go back right away to pounding the pavement and getting the headshot and doing this audition and trying to, you know, now I walk into a producer session or an audition, it's just like, you want me? You got me. You don't? I'll go over here. It's like, I'm sure you're all really lovely people. Let me show you the work that I've done.
Right.
And if you are buying it, you're going to buy me. If you, right?
Right.
If not, no hard feelings. Bye. And that's the thing, by the way, that'll win you all the friends in the room. It's like, well, she doesn't need us.
Oh, yeah,
we'll hire
yeah.
her. What? That's interesting.
That's right. That's
but,
right.
But you know, developing yeah. that, because the audition skill is something that's crucial. So you've got a whole day stretching out ahead of you, and it's fun.
Yeah.
You
yeah.
want to just hang on to that.
So that's where you would drink.
To prolong the elation.
Yeah, because you thought that it wouldn't last enough, long enough.
If I was
drinking,
sober. Yeah. Yeah.
But isn't the best high a natural high?
Of course. Now, of course it is.
Come on.
Of course.
Come on, people. The best high is a natural high.
When it's authentic.
Yes.
And you're fully experiencing the happiness
yes.
that has been brought to you or that you're bringing to others, which is its own kind of happiness.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean? Which is, that's singular too. There's nothing like that. To really fully, without any alcohol barrier, take in what is happening around you.
Nothing better than
nothing.
Nothing. So what's with this trapeze that you... You're a trapeze artist.
What?
You do trapeze?
I do.
Is that the way you call it, trapeze?
I do trapeze. I fly trapeze. You're so funny. I'm going to put you up on the trapeze.
Oh,
then you'll be laughing.
I can never do it. I can never.
Well, first of all, you could.
No. Yeah.
Well, okay, here's the thing. Maybe not climb enough.
That's good for your mental state of mind.
If you can climb up that ladder.
Yeah.
And you can allow yourself to be pivoted around by two people on the board who are experts, who know what they're doing and will not let anything happen
Didn't
to you.
Didn't Steve Burton do that too?
He did. And he did with my trapeze teacher, Richie Guyana. And then allow yourself to jump off that board and hang on. At that point, you're hanging on for dear life. At that point, you got
Oh, my God. Death. I'm scared right now.
Yeah. So that's the flying trapeze. But if you can do that, then I don't care what level you're at. Worlds open up to you. Possibilities open up to you. If you can do that, anything is possible. But I will have you over to my house. In fact, we should film this for A State of Mind.
Oh,
yes, yeah. We should. Yes, we should.
You're going to have me on a trapeze?
I'm going to have you on the hanging trapeze. Now, that is not 35 feet up in the air.
Oh.
Listen, you're always in a harness. It's always fine. Nothing ever can happen. That's only about, you know, that can be anywhere from 2 to 10 feet in the air. And that the aerialist never leaves the bar. You see a lot of it in Cirque du Soleil.
Man.
And so, you know, you're just kind of doing all these contortions and fun things around the bar. And that's what actually one of the things that got
Do I wear like Speedos?
If you do, I will pay you cash money.
Like thongs?
Cash money. I will pay you cash money if you do that. It will be on the table. It will be waiting for you.
Oh, my okay? God.
If you wear little tights, maybe a little, you know,
yeah,
a little leotard spangle.
Yeah, I'll be better than Steve, I can tell you that.
I'll have one made for you. I will do that. So, yeah, but I have a hanging trapeze at the end of my driveway, and it's one of the things where I say, oh, COVID, pandemic, lockdown, great, because I could walk outside.
That's great.
Only for me.
That's
and
cool.
That's being very selfish. Every day and work out. So now I work out, you know, 3 or 4
That's
times
cool.
A week.
We'll see.
Yeah.
You did Dark Justice? Is that a series?
Oh my God. How many years ago was that?
I did it.
You did?
Yeah, I played a mafia dude.
Were you on it? Like was it a guest star?
Yeah.
I had a guest star.
You've done everything in the
room. I know. I was a
You know, we're probably on the same show.
Like a high class madam. I was arranging for girls for men. Yeah, it wasn't a safe.
Yeah, track. Now you did. I checked out your True Blood that you did. You kicked ass on that.
I did. I really fanged a lot of people.
Oh no, but it was kicking ass.
Yeah, that's me. About 25 pounds heavier. With hair up to here.
Oh, it was cool.
Yeah, it was so much fun.
The way you did it.
Oh, True Blood was so much fun.
Yeah.
With that Texas twang.
Now, you've done so much stuff, man. I looked at your credits. It's like, you know, there's some people, like, my credits are whatever. I have good credits, but they're not a lot. And then there's some
people. Well, it's the ones you have, though, that are like, yeah. And then,
but
you
there
know.
Are some people that you're one of those that have tons. How'd you and Nancy Lee Grahn are just great together as two great actresses who I consider great. Yeah. I don't say great lightly, but I consider you and Nancy great. It's fun to watch you guys.
We're a fun couple of broads.
Yeah.
Because we are broads. And we understand, Alexis and Diane understand that each, that Alexis and Diane are both broads. There's nothing sort of, we're very feminine, but there's nothing sort of delicate and, you know, sort of like, oh, hello, where's my Lancelot? Rescue me from the tower. No, that's not.
But they should, they should give you guys more story or...
Yeah.
I'm not trying to, you know, but I'm
Where was... I mean, come on. Where was Diane when Sonny came home?
We haven't had a scene?
Right.
Oh!
Where's I mean, where is Diane...
We haven't had a scene?
No, no. And I, when Alexis went into the penitentiary, or wherever she went, I was off in Atlanta doing a film, so I wasn't there when she had the, you know, the big girl send-off. And the fans noticed that, and I actually had to, on social media, saying, it's not the writer's fault, Frank, God love Frank Valentini, I was off, right? So, but did Diane ever visit Alexis in prison? No!
But forget that. I don't care about that.
Okay.
No, I did care about that. I care about that. We haven't had a scene.
We haven't had a scene together since you've been back.
But Frank did save, you know, our job, so that we thank him for that forever, you know.
Always.
Always, yeah. So what's the story that you got?
About you?
Yeah.
About the first time that...
Yeah, that we met
the first two times? Okay. All right. And
you're
and,
addicted to this
and,
now, aren't you?
And this is and this happened to me. So this is not gossip because it happened to me with you.
All right.
And I have told this before because you are very open about yourself. So
yes.
I think it's my second day.
Oh no.
You and I are about to walk into the PCPD. We have not met.
Oh no! Right? I'm very serious. I know.
We're waiting on the little bench. We're waiting on the little bench outside of the PCPD to walk in. And he goes, hey. I said, you know, I'm playing your lawyer. Yeah. Hey, how you doing? You know, I said, wow. You know, you've been on this show for so. He goes, yeah. You know, I was coming on. I was gonna be like the next Brando. And I said, well, you are. I mean, you're the Don, you're the Godfather. He goes, yeah. He goes, I'm going to do all these things, and I've done them, and I've succeeded, and I've this, and I've been institutionalized a couple of times, and I tried to kill my wife. Let's go act. And I went, and you walked in, and I went, what the fuck? And I just got up, and I went, okay.
Oh my God. Okay.
All right. So that's. That was the first time. And then about a week later.
Oh, my God. That's the funniest thing I ever heard.
Well, about a week later, Diane is telling Sonny. She's being very emphatic with Sonny. And it was the old set where, you know, here's the couch, fireplace, your desk. Right. And and she's looking at it. And so I'm standing there talking to you. And you're talking to me, and all of a sudden you do this. You go like this. Well, I just don't know if I got it. Okay. Well, you know, yeah, but I mean, it's just kind of, I went, you motherfucker. I went, are you, okay, let's dance. You want to dance? I'll dance with you. I'll just, and I looked and I went, I don't know if my cue line is in there anywhere, but I'm going to talk right over you. And it's like, okay, you want to see what I'm made of? Okay, that's fine, because I thought he's testing me. And so I charted in, and I watched your eyes go. It's like, that's right. It's like, I'm not going to let you.
I was very, you know, you have to understand that when I, now I'm a lot calmer, but.
You said to me, though, you said that's when you knew that you could play with me.
Yeah, yeah.
And I went, that's right.
Because I like to, not as much now, but when I was, especially then, being the method actor, I like to mess with people.
Yes, I know.
And see if they can bounce it back. And when they bounce it back, then it's all good.
Well, then I mean, you know.
Yeah, but for you, with you, I really knew how good you were when you would go deep with me. It wasn't I knew you're good at all that Lucille Ball stuff, even though I love Lucille Ball. And this has nothing to do with me playing Desi Arnaz.
That's the biggest compliment that you can, first of all, that you can ever give any redhead, certainly in this business.
That's just.
But I can, you know.
But I don't see anybody.
I grew up watching Lucille Ball.
So did I.
Chapter and verse, I can quote every single episode.
Yeah.
And my personal hero, I love Lucy, but I love Vivian.
Oh, yeah, she was great.
She's just.
But Lucy could do drama.
Absolutely.
But it wasn't what she was known for.
No.
But she can.
No. Yeah,
like
no,
you
she
can.
Was wonderful.
But you've probably done some drama. I don't know everything you've done, but I know that if I were producing a movie, directing or whatever, I would have you do a dramatic role.
Thank you.
I really would.
See, and I'm waiting for the Sunny Diane reunion because that will probably be an opportunity for both you and I to go.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Because it's like...
That's very true.
Diane will be...
I can't, because I forget stuff that we haven't done anything. All right, so this is what happened today. And I'm so glad that we've had this conversation. I did a job today that wasn't the greatest. And it wasn't anybody's fault, but I don't think I was equipped, but that's fine. And it makes me sad even now, because what happened is when it was so amazing, and I'll tell you why I'm telling you this story. It was so amazing when I had the ear for things, and he said, "You're finished." And there was so much joy. And I'm not trying to, look, I appreciate everything I do and everything. Just sometimes you can do it. You're doing something that you don't want to do. You're not enjoying it. So I said, "Oh, really?" Yeah. I said, "Oh, you guys were great. Thank you." Because whatever. So I get out and I feel like the weight's been lifted from my back. And I get in my car. And I'm not joking. I felt like I'm so happy that I get to talk to you, because I knew that you would make me laugh and stuff. Right? And also, I started crying. That's how happy I was.
Yeah.
That I was out of there.
Yeah.
And I said to myself, "Where does this come from?" And I thought to myself, it's probably when I was a little boy and I used to go to school. I hated going to school when I was little. And not that I would get picked on, but I wasn't smart like the other kids. And it was probably a Friday and I had 2 weeks vacation. And that's the feeling that I felt just like 4 hours ago.
I always say, you don't hear it anymore because everything's digital. But the second best sentence you will ever hear as an actor is checking the gate.
Yeah.
And the best sentence you will ever hear is gate's good.
Yeah.
Moving on. It's like, oh,
I know.
Oh, we're done. You know, or that's a wrap. And that's a wrap is always great when you know you're coming back the next day and you get to do what you love, you know. But doing, and I've done them, doing a part that you hate for whatever reason. And for me, it's usually external stuff. The script isn't good, or it's 4 a.m. and you're in the snow, or whatever it is, and you get that, that's a wrap. That can bring you to tears. Absolutely can bring you to tears.
Yeah.
When it's not fun, because above all else, what we do it's got to be fun. It's got to be fun for us, because then drama or comedy, if it's fun, it translates to the audience.
Yeah.
There's that subtle kind of smoke and mirrors. You're doing something up here, and the audience is watching up, but you're sliding in this whole idea of it's just so much fun, and that makes it transcendent. If it's a horror film, if it's playing a serial killer, if you're playing Lucille Ball, that's that thing that you can't teach.
Yeah,
so
you know,
it's not fun.
It's funny because you're right. I've been doing this too long to not be to enjoy what
absolutely.
I'm.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's not.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, and I.
But how do you know sometimes you get the job, you go in and.
Well, I make it a point for myself. Period. Because I'm a happy person. Yeah, I did. Yes, I'm a happy person. Except for those times when I'm not. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
I will do everything that I can do to make it happy, to make it fun for myself. And I also.
Oh, even in the midst.
In the midst of it. It has to be fun for me.
Right.
And that is criteria number one. And criteria number two is my creed on set, my mantra is, how can I make your job easier? And when I teach, I say, if you can do something other than acting, do it.
Yeah, I know.
Because this business
will
crack you in two.
Yeah.
And remake you. And it will feed on your soul a little bit.
Yeah.
And then it'll put you back together and send you back out there. And you're a different person. You're not, you know, and who wants to be that? You become bitter and you become whatever. So if you can do something else, do it. But you cannot. You are the one of the consummate actors. Truly.
Right.
I cannot. And be happy.
Yeah.
I mean, I could do something else and slowly die on the vine. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, I love to write and I like to produce and I'm starting to direct a little bit. Yay! But it's the acting, who knows why, that's the bliss. That's the thing that feeds me. And the moment it doesn't become fun, that's when I'll hang it up. I don't foresee that happening.
No, it's already happening for me.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm good at it and I do it.
Yeah.
But it doesn't fulfill me at all like it did.
The last time you won the Emmy.
Yes.
I remember you coming back to talk to me because I was. And you were, I think you were my last interview of the evening.
Yeah.
So happy. Because I get to watch you across from me. And aside from that little, you know, the little touch, it's never been anything but a joy, but an absolute joy and a bit of a masterclass. So it's.
Yeah,
I don't think the world wants you to quit, but again, it's up to you.
Yeah,
because I know what you do, so it's like, well, of course you have a goal.
This is a good talk. I think that it's not the General Hospital or any soap that I would not do, because that's like family. That's easy. You know, I didn't get arrested. You did. I didn't get arrested for like 30, 25 years. I couldn't get a job. I mean, I did Desi early on and all that, but that once I
auditioned for that, by the way.
I'm sure you did.
Like everybody else.
And Francis is great, though. Yeah. But you would have been great. But for a long time, I didn't get, you know, shit. And then it's only been in the last 2-3 years that I've gotten stuff outside of the soap. And I'm telling you, grass is not greener for me. I get out there, and I don't like being, I've always hated being the new boy in school. I'm not good at that. Do I do the job well? Yeah, I'm good at it. But I can continue to do General Hospital unless this picks up and you know what's may pick up. This I can do for the rest of my life and be very happy. And then General Hospital too, because it's kind of easy. It's the joy.
It's become, yeah.
Yeah, it's but outside of that, I'm like so amazed that you still have that passion and that thing. I wish I did. I just don't. But you have to understand something too, Carolyn. I've been through a lot of mental.
Yes.
And what happens with me, this is actually interesting. I attribute anxiety, not so much bipolar. I haven't had a manic episode in 30 years. But I attribute depression, anxiety especially, to acting. The pressures of acting. So what's happened is 28 years of wear and tear. That's kind of where I'm at.
And from the outside looking in to, first of all, a non-actor, that's number one, but also to most actors, they would look at you and say, what do you mean, pressure? You have been the number one actor on the number one soap and the number one character for how many years? You've got it made. There's no roller coaster.
Yeah.
You walk in, you participate in conversations up on the fifth floor that the rest of us don't.
Yeah, I get
you. There's a little bit of direction that you have. You have input.
Yeah.
How can that be? And you've only gotten bigger as the years have gone on.
But
I get it. Yes. But I'm just
I know what you're saying.
Yeah,
and that's
right.
And so from somebody looking from the outside looking in,
and it's never the same.
They don't understand the internal battle.
Of course. Of course.
That, you know, just last year, I mean, that shit scares the fuck out of me.
You mean what you had to do last year, the storyline?
No. During the pandemic,
yeah,
when
gotcha.
I was thinking
yeah.
of, you know, yeah. all that ugliness and darkness, and it scares the hell out of me. And maybe acting doesn't have anything to do with it, but in my mind...
Then it has, in your, it, the,
right, right.
It has everything to do with it.
Right.
Because that's the only mind you got to worry about.
Exactly. Yeah, and so...
What's the reality? The reality is, it doesn't have anything to do with it? No. Your reality is it does. Period. That's the
fact. So that's why I believe it's easier on General Hospital. Because it's safe.
There's, I would think, it's far less of a proving ground. You proved yourself over and over.
Right. So that it's
you almost have nothing left to prove on General Hospital.
Yeah, and I like it.
Right.
And I like it. It's just that when I've done other stuff, you know, but I still get into making it work.
And see, there's I it still, that feeds you.
Yeah, you have to. Well, you if you're doing something out, you gotta. Otherwise, you're gonna just be like, yeah.
Yeah.
So I just want to say to Carolyn, thank you for being my therapist on my own show, State of Mind.
Thank you for being mine, because mine fired me.
It was a back and forth of a lot of stuff, but it's been fun, man. It's been great.
I love you.
We'll do it again.
Please.
We'll do it again.
Please.
State of Mind.